At some point.
All right. Well, thank you all for coming. It's a beautiful Saturday afternoon, a little bit windy, but I'm sure everybody had other places to be today. And I do appreciate, we all appreciate you coming and spending your afternoon with us. For those of you that don't know, I'm Deb Leifert, currently the president of our HOA, or Westbrook Village Community Association Incorporated. I've been on the board since, at the end of December, it'll be 4 years. I do plan to retire my position on the board effective the end of December, and we'll talk about a December meeting that we plan to have. That would be December 4th, 2024. You might want to jot it down if you've got something to do that with or on your phone. We thought 4:30 in the afternoon. And we also thought that we would ask to do that in the form of a Zoom meeting, because this has only a 40-person capacity, and we have less than that, but it still feels full. I don't know where else to get a meeting room. Maybe some of you do. If you do, you can let us know. But then we run into the issue of people not wanting to drive if the streets aren't good, people not wanting to drive after dark. In our age range, happens. So, December 4th at 4:30, Zoom meeting. And at that time, we will be taking nominations for the board. So if you know of someone, or if you yourself, the blocks that are coming up, we've got Brian Harpole's position on block 3 is open. He says that he plans to place his name in nomination again, so that doesn't mean that others on block 3 couldn't do the same. On block 1, there's myself, and my slot will become open, so we need to have someone from block 1. Do all of you know where the blocks are? We have 3 blocks in our community. Is there anyone who doesn't know where those blocks are?
Both on the website, we now have the mapping very cleanly and clearly designated what is common area, what is AMA area, which is the area of maintenance that blocks 1 and 2 pay for. And then block 3 is the white area on here, where block 3 does not participate in expenses other than common area, because we have to take care of our own places for all outside things. So this is on the website now, and it shows where every lot is, and lot numbers, and what is common, and it's color-coded. So the orange is common, the pink is AMA. And further on the website, Carl, thank you again. Carl put up a footprint of all the lots with all of the owners' names on them. That is on the roster page. This is on the governance page of the website. This is on the roster page of the website. So you can see where everybody lives. We thought that would be helpful to you.
On Boxelder Drive, the homes located on the west side of Boxelder Drive are block 1 people. Across the street to the east, those are block 2 people, and behind them to the east, and those houses face Boxelder Circle, that again is block 2. And then the outer semicircle of homes is block 3. Before we go any further, I want everybody on the board to introduce themselves, and I also want you to be aware that we are recording this meeting
Jack Bamberg, seated at the far, at my far left, your right, is using his phone to record it so that we don't have to try to take notes, and so that, if possible, we can use the recording and post that on the website so people can listen to this meeting again if they so choose. So what you say will be recorded if it all works according to plan. The other thing I'll mention at this time, there aren't lights up here. That's not by choice. They aren't working for whatever reason. So somewhat dark up here, but we're doing fine. We can see. All right, let's start out over here.
My name's Don Renner. I've been here since 2015. I've been serving on the board this last term. Unless somebody else wants the position, I'll continue.
Yes, you're coming up for re-election. Right. You're a block one person, and you are going to ask for your name to be put in nomination. So
But if somebody else wants it.
That doesn't mean he's a shoo-in. That means he's going to be placed in nomination. But if anyone else from block one cares to be nominated, we can make that happen.
I was just going to ask, are you doing that? Because it didn't used to be that way, where I know we wanted representation from block three as well, but now you're specifying you want somebody specifically from one and somebody from two, or can one and two be the same?
No. What's happening right now is the way our CCNRs are, is we have 17 lots in block three, designates two people to be on the board. So the five member board, excuse me. And the next group is block one, and we have 15 lots in block one. So they have two people. Block two has 14 lots, so they have one person.
Okay.
My position, my block three and Larry block two were reelected last December for a 2-year term. So we served all of 24, will serve all of 25. These are for 2-year terms too. So the ones that you'll be re-electing are from are going to be 2-year terms beginning in 2025, 2026.
But was that always in there? But specifically a certain number from one?
We looked back to one of the resolutions that John did. Okay. There was 9 of them that were done. That's in there for how the terms and redoing. Because in the original CCNRs, John Marlin was it. There was no board except John.
Okay. So we have three board positions that are coming open, and that will come open at our December 4th meeting. And you folks will all cast your vote on who you want to be on the board. And block one, Don Renner. Block three, it's Brian Harpole. And then block one, whoever is nominated to replace me. And there could be more nominations for block three and block one. So, all right. At this point,
have you introduced yourself?
Oh, no, sorry, I have not. I'm Linda Fetterman. I've been a resident here since 2000, so just the beginning. And I'm currently do the budgeting for the HOA and work with our bookkeeper to make sure all the books are straight and correct and verified.
Brian Harpole, you probably see me riding around on my bicycle. I've been here since 2000, I guess. So
I'm Larry McConaughey, block one?
Two.
Two? I don't know. So any of you in block two that have questions, concerns, or compliments, start with me, and we'll get them up the way, okay?
As I stated before, Jack Bamber, he's not a board member, he's our website guru. We have a Westbrook Village website, WBV,
co.com. And if you go there, you will see we post a lot of things, and it's a place to learn more about our community. And we thank him for that, because there are many of us here who do not know how to operate a website. All right, I'm going to ask each of you to stand and state your name, and just so that we can all make sure we kind of know each other. We'll start over here with you, Jim.
My name is Jim Vogt. It's my wife, Mary Jane.
We are
the
Block
1. I'm Sue Harmon. I'm Block 1, too.
I'm Dennis Skinner, and I'm Block 3, I suspect.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Jim Vandegrift, Block 2. I think.
Your wife.
Dan Fremont, Block 3.
Jim Lucas, Block 2.
I'm Carl Hendrickson with my wife, Sue, and I guess we're in Block 2. And and we've been here, I guess, 3 years, and hard to believe.
Yeah,
it's been great.
Yeah,
time goes by, huh? Same here. 3 years.
And I'm Eileen Salt.
Keith Salt. We're Block 2.
Okay, Chris Beck, Block 1. Been here 5 years.
Jim Moore, Peggy Moore, we just moved in this week. We haven't moved in yet entirely, so we have cars parked. Block 1.
Welcome. Welcome to the neighborhood.
Thank you.
Tony Whittagaro, Kathy Whittagaro. Well, you can speak for yourself. Block 1.
John and Mary Marlin, we're in Block 3.
Not really.
Karen Kolasek, Block 3, from the beginning 2000.
Oh, let's do.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm
Lynn
McConaughey, Block 2.
I'm Greg Grossman, my wife Carolyn. We just moved into 1045 Box Elder Circle, so we're Block 3, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Welcome. Welcome.
We know where we live.
My name is Lathra. My husband Rich and I live in Block 2 and been here almost 15 years.
And my husband Dave and I live at
3405
Box Elder Drive, Block 1.
This is
a test.
Ad hoc scheme, a great Block 2. Well, we've been here 5 years.
Chapter Roberts, Block 2.
I'm Jamie Myers, also on the great Block 2.
And I will tell you that of Block 3, there are 7 original owners. In Block 1, there is one original owner. And in Block 2, there is one original owner. Everybody else is new people. The neighborhood has moved around. Changed.
Hi.
Oh, there's one more.
I'm Lorena Figueroa. I'm in Block Elder Circle. I think it's Block 2.
Yes.
And I've been here for 4 years. And this is my ex-husband, John.
Thank you. Is that now everyone's been introduced? Well, it's great to see all of you. We haven't had an in-person meeting, I don't believe, since COVID hit. Yeah, so this is unusual. And I sent out a meeting agenda. We'll just kind of start with that.
discussion and repair, replacement of wooden utility boxes around the utility towers owned by Comcast and CenturyLink. There are 8 boxes with common within the common areas of our HOA, and these are still being used by the companies who have an easement on the Westbrook Village property. The responsibility for the repairs and upkeep on those wooden boxes, it belongs to our HOA. We checked into it and argued with these companies and tried to get them to chip in, and they said, look, we don't care if you have boxes around our towers or not. That's your idea of decorating. It's not ours. We don't care. They were not willing to help us at all. On the board went out and got estimates to redo those boxes, replacing the boards, and came up with what we thought was the best one from Ketchum Painting and Remodeling, which I attached to the agenda that I sent out, for $6,900. We voted at a board meeting recently that we do want to approve that proposal and hire Mr. Ketchum and his company to put in new wooden surrounds on the utility posts. And we have enough money in our budget to pay for that this year. We're going to go ahead and get it paid as soon as he gets all of the work done. Sure, we'll have to pay something up front. We haven't entered into a final contract, but we'll be doing that probably within the next week. Maintenance and upkeep in our community is assigned to the board to make rulings on and decisions on. And we want those to be safe, and we also want them to look nice, the wooden boxes around those posts. So we have voted to replace them and do it this year. And if all the work is done to our satisfaction, we can pay for it all this year. Yes, Patsy?
The length of time that it will take to complete the project?
Well, Mr. Ketchum stated in his proposal that what the work hours are, the estimated completion timeline is 4 to 5 days, he said.
Oh, thank you,
sir. He has recently done painting of several cones in our HOA. People, I think, have been generally satisfied with his work. He's easy to get along with. He seems competent and does a good job. We like the work he's done. And he also has a certificate of liability insurance. I attached that to the agenda so you can see that we're not just working with some fly-by-night guy that we picked up on the street. Any other questions about yes,
Bob? Do you have any plans to put any kind of a screen over the top of these?
No. I think that would just be a leaf catcher and a playground, a trampoline for squirrels.
We never have done it.
Do you think they're a hazard? Nobody thinks they're a hazard.
No.
Okay. They've been that way since 2000.
Has the decision been made to replace all boards in each of the boxes?
90-something% of the boards. There were a few boards that we went out and looked with Mr. Ketchum, and
he pulled his contract up. You'll see the detail too.
We went board by board by board, and if there was a board that looked like it was still a sound board, we said we would keep it. But it's going to be a replacement of over 90% of the lumber in those boxes.
Are you talking about the railroad ties?
Yeah.
On boards.
Yeah.
The railroad ties, aren't they?
Yes.
No, they're treated
6 by 6.
Some kind of treated. Six by sixes. I drilled into any of the suspect, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then was,
so these will be pressure treated and all that?
Yes.
Yes.
Don and Deb and Brian all walked the property with Ketchum and delineated. Everybody understood amongst the four of them what was happening, what needed to happen, and so forth. So I think we've had a very good board response on getting on top of it and doing things. Any other questions on the replacement of those pressure-treated posts or whatever? I'm sorry, I don't know what to call them. The wood around the utility post. I'm sorry, Dan. I don't know. What should I call them?
I think pressure-treated boards or wood, whatever.
Okay. That worked. Any other questions?
What was the cost estimate?
$6,900.
How many are there, by the way?
Eight.
And there's $6,000
each? No. That's the total price. $7,000. Okay, any other questions on that issue? We'll get the contract put together and signed, and I would expect that you'll see Mr. Ketchum out working on it before long. All right. Next is a discussion regarding what should be done with the drip system in blocks 1 and 2. Well, before I do that, I just want to mention that these pressure-treated wooden boxes around those utility posts, we've determined to be in the common areas, and that blocks 1, 2, and 3 will contribute their appropriate percentages to the payment of those, and it will take it out of the dues that have already been collected. Going on now to the drip system in blocks 1 and 2, some of you may not even know that you have a drip system, and that may be because it never works as long as you live there. That's my situation. I knew there was supposed to be one there, but it's never worked. And some of you have been lucky and the drip system has kept your plants watered. Some of you have been frustrated because sometimes the drip system waters and sometimes it doesn't work and your plants dry up and die. We appointed a 3-person committee to study the problem and suggest solutions. The 3 people on that committee are Patsy Vandegrift here, and Sue Harmon, and Mary Jane Vogt. I want to give a huge thank you to them. They put in a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of good thought process. They met several times. They met with various sprinkler experts. And then they prepared a report. I emailed that report out to the entire neighborhood when I set up the notice of special live in-person meeting. So you all should have had access to it and had an opportunity to read through it and consider it. It's kind of a complicated area. You wouldn't think so on first thinking of it, but it is a complicated issue. And this is an issue that is a block 1 and 2 issue. This is in the what we call AMA areas, and blocks 1 and 2 are responsible for payment of it, and this is an expensive issue. And we want to talk today about, do we each homeowner replace or put in our own drip system if we want one, or you could get by like I have been with a hose and a nozzle, very cheap resolution to the problem, and my plants are alive. It takes more effort and more vigilance to make sure that your plants are being watered, or do we have the HOA put in a blocks 1 and 2 drip system that services everybody in blocks 1 and 2. And blocks 1 and 2 will then pay for that system and be subject to the rules of the association. When does it get turned on in the spring? When does it get blown out in the fall? How many drippers can you, can each homeowner put on? How many, you know, do we dig up the ground underneath all of our plants so that we can put in lines underground? Do we just throw a pipe on top of the ground and let it show and figure it's ugly but it's cheap? So there are lots and lots of questions and issues. And I can't tell you how much I thank this committee for their hard work and good thinking on it. At this time, I would like to ask the committee members to talk about the study that they conducted and the thoughts or conclusions, if they have them, after they did their work. Who would like to start out here talking about it? Sue, would you?
Sure.
Could maybe come up over there so we can record it a little bit, if that's okay.
The basic question is that blocks 1 and 2 were developed and sold as being maintained by the association. And in the covenants, it's section 4.4, it says that everyone in blocks 1 and 2 are required to use the irrigation system that was installed when this area was developed. There is a wording saying that you can add an additional drip system or whatever on your property that you will be responsible for forever, and when your home is sold, it has to follow that, which requires recording it with the Boulder County Clerk and Recorder. So that's a possibility. And if an individual homeowner wants to do that, that is their decision at their expense. It's not disallowed. However, the homeowners still have to pay their percentage of the overall irrigation water because there's no meter that says this household is using this much and this household is using that much. So that's where we currently stand without any changes. If we as a community, blocks 1 and 2, vote to have everyone install their own drip system, that means we are changing the covenants, and that's a whole nother issue. That means we hire a lawyer, we come up with a plan, we vote on it, and not only do we vote on it, any mortgage holder, any institution or bank who holds a mortgage also has to vote on it and approve it. And that requires contacting them. If they don't respond, after you put 2 notices in a newspaper 2 weeks apart, then it's counted as a affirmative vote, okay? But it is basically shifting the whole, from being full maintenance to partial maintenance. And that is a big issue. And that's something everybody needs to think about. It's doable, but it would take a while. It's not something that would be done overnight. There's quite a legal process involved. And it would, as I say, require the covenants to be rewritten. That's basically it. Questions? Chris? I'll just make 2 comments and respond. I mean, one is we need to have our CCNRs and bylaws reviewed anyway because of legal changes that have occurred over the last several years. So we aren't going to be, I mean, there's more.
Chris, can you stand up?
And maybe speak a little louder. Oh, you want me to?
Sure.
We at some point are going to have to bite the bullet and get some legal assistance to review our bylaws and CCNRs to ensure that they are legal at this point because of laws change that the state of Colorado has made over the last several years and maybe even over 25 years. So, John, maybe you've looked at that in the past, but in recent years, we know there have been more changes, and we know we're being held more, or HOAs are being held more accountable. So we're going to have to, at some point, pay for that unless we have legal counsel here who knows HOA law and is willing to do it for us. So I think that's something we know we're going to have to do. The other thing is the CCNRs really say that, or at least the way I understand them, and I'm not any great mind for this stuff, but they do say that the AMA areas around the houses, that the HOA will maintain those. But the understanding I have with what I've gone through is that if your plantings die now, the HOA isn't going to replace them and won't maintain anything that you have put in replacing it. Therefore, at some point, the HOA won't be maintaining anything, probably. I mean, at some point, everything around the foundations will end up being, will die and have to be replaced. So I guess to me, we almost need to change the CCNRs if we really are living by, you know, the rule that if I replace it, I maintain it. The HOA no longer does. So I think we're going to have to expend some money on some of this anyway, regardless of what we end up deciding as an association.
Chris, I guess I'm trying to understand. If the plant dies, you didn't plant it. Let's say the HOA planted when it was. Whose responsibility is to replant that then?
Me, the homeowner.
So you're
responsible. No, wait. In the CCNR, it says that the HOA is supposed to replace it. But that's not what we are abiding by at this time.
It's pretty simply stated that the HOA is responsible. That's stated.
Right.
But somehow changes have happened to where the HOA is no longer doing that, no longer replacing. So I feel like this is a potential legal situation where somebody who cares enough about that could say, I could take this HOA to court for not, I mean, I bought in here thinking I didn't have to do any of this. I'm not speaking for myself now, I'm speaking for what potentially could happen. Somebody could say, when I bought this place, it said the HOA was going to do this, and now the HOA is not doing this. Where's the problem? And, you know, I feel like if the HOA is not going to do it, then we all have an opportunity to be disappointed if we bought in thinking that they were going to, but then our CCNRs have to say that, and that would be hiring a lawyer, and we'd all have to agree, and maybe we all wouldn't agree because that's not the premise that we bought in under. So I just, it's a can of worms. It's a difficult situation.
Well, and to me, that's by having our bylaws and CCNRs reviewed, that is the opportunity for us as an association to say, we want to change this rule or we don't want to change this rule. So that, to me, that's the time to do it.
I can read to you section 4.4. John?
Well, you're absolutely right. It's a complicated issue. And in practice, the HOA has, when a plant dies, it's removed and replaced it. When you start allowing people to plant things, there needs to be an agreement that doesn't exclude that plant from HOA maintenance, but it's at the expense of the homeowner. Although, you know, I'm going to talk around in circles here, because is it the expense of the homeowner? It's an HOA plant.
I know what you're saying. Yeah. I had 3 trees planted in my backyard, and the agreement is they were not HOA trees. I put them in. I agreed that I will maintain them.
But when you move out,
it needs to be written down.
That's exactly right.
And it's not. It's not written down. There's no process for doing that right now. That needs to go with
the property so the future owners understand that it's their responsibility as well.
But my own feeling is, and somewhat what the original intent was with the covenants, was that the HOA will be responsible for the AMA Association maintenance areas to remove and replace trees and shrubs and bushes that need to be. If a homeowner wants to plant a certain weeping willow or whatever it is, that could be above and beyond the scope of what the HOA would normally do. If a bush dies, the HOA might replace it with the same bush or what maybe is recommended to be a superior plant. But it just gets really complicated saying, well, this is yours and this is ours, and how do you keep track of that in perpetuity?
Exactly.
I couldn't agree more, and I think, this is just my thoughts on it after wrestling with this problem now for several years, maybe we need to rethink how our CC&Rs, and for those of you wonder what those initials stand for, covenants, conditions, and restrictions, you can print them off of the website, but maybe it doesn't make sense to make the HOA responsible for taking care of every plant, bush, and whatever that grows next to our homes. Maybe we should have a rule, something like, when I'm done, those red concrete borders that are around our foundations and give us some room to plant things, maybe each homeowner should be responsible for what is growing in those areas inside the concrete borders. And I'm sick of doing a genealogical search on every bush trying to figure out, did the HOA plant this 25 years ago? I don't know. I didn't even live in the state of Colorado 25 years ago. I came here 5 years ago. And I think that trying to go by memory as to what was planted by the HOA and what's been added by homeowners A, B, C, and D who have lived in that house since inception is a ridiculous waste of time.
In my humble opinion, what happened was, over the last 20 years while I was on the board, a plant died, we lifted it out, and we replaced it. Simple. It didn't matter. We just did it. We either let the homeowner choose it or we chose it. Every plant that died, we took out and replaced.
You mean like every flower?
Having said that, we had a budget that allocated money to replace that bush, and we were sure we'd have to raise the dues. So what happened, consequently, the reason this thing has gone off the rails, in my opinion, is that over the last 4 years or so, when a plant died, we didn't have the money to replace the plant. So therefore, the homeowner replaced the plant. Therefore, the homeowner put in more plants. Therefore, it created a stress on the drip system. So it was kind of like a reverse domino. What you have to do is, and we sure as hell appreciate the HOA trying to keep the dues simple and stable, but in some cases, if you want to go back to what it was 24 years ago, 25 years ago, is you have to go back to what the CC&R say. The HOA is responsible to maintain the property. Therefore, the plant dies, lift it out, plant goes in, and at some point you may have to raise the dues, obviously. But that way, to go through what you're talking about, Sue and home, I realize you guys work your tails off, but that would be an insanity thing to try to convert those CC&Rs right now. I mean, it boggles my mind on the process and the cost that we just throw money out
the
window.
It is what it is, and the cost of
redoing or having our CC&Rs looked at and by a legal expert, and there are attorneys who do nothing but HOA work. I found out by doing some research that here in the state of Colorado, approximately 44% of everybody in the state lives in an HOA. There are law firms and attorneys who do nothing but HOA work. And all of you have become aware that HOAs have been sued, and they sue a lot more often than they used to. It used to be rare, and now it's become somewhat common. I think we need to look at thinking about maybe, at least I like to be responsible for what I plant in my little area, and if something dies, I'll rip it out. That's my view on it. I'm not telling you to feel that way, and we'll have to vote on these things, but we need guidance from legal experts, and that's going to cost probably somewhere between $12,000 to $15,000 to get it looked at, rewritten, brought up to current dates, and then we're probably going to have somebody look at it each year and tell us, okay, what's new, what do we got to change? And as long as we're looking at the CC&Rs and changing the rules, we need to think about, do we really like the rules as they are, or do we want to do something different? And that's what we're talking about.
Well, I think
here today.
That if you go to what you say, just for kind of a viewpoint, if blocks 1 and 2 are responsible to plant and remove and replace and maintain their own yard,
just the part in the
center. That's like block 3.
Just the part within the curbing.
Yeah, but the area, excuse me, the area, I see what you're saying.
We're paying our own money.
Right, right. Yeah. I didn't say a thing about block 3. I said within the own curbing is the area we're talking about.
I think what you're trying to say is if we become responsible for everything inside the curbing, there's not that much left outside. It's very little.
There's a lawn.
But it is what? 10 feet maybe in front, 10 feet maybe in back. If we're gonna go that far, then let's, like you say, just go
leave it.
That's a possibility. Make everybody responsible for their own property. But then it's not a maintenance free community anymore. And I want to add one thing, that there is a hierarchy of law that involves this. There's the federal, the state, the county, the municipality, the HOA. And the HOA cannot go against any constraints by those other laws.
Right.
That's where you get into the hiring the lawyer. It's complicated. And the Colorado has it's called the Kiowa Law, the Colorado Common Ownership Act. And it's like 50 pages long, okay? It governs all sorts of things. And my understanding from what I've read recently is the legislature's going to take a look at that and make it more concise and clean it up, because it's gotten to the point like, what? What does this mean? And, okay, it's changed. What part changed? Where do I find that? So that's supposed to be coming up in the near future. We'll see.
John, you want to say something?
Well, part of the issue is, it's like Deb just mentioned, that she would just as soon take care of whatever's inside of the curbing. The problem with that is, that's fine with Deb right now, but once again, Deb decides to move on. The next owner, they may even take care of those plants, but then they suddenly may not. What if they don't? What if they just let them go?
We have to have rules enacted that say, if you don't keep your yard up, and if it doesn't meet a certain standard of looking nice, then you get a letter from the HOA that tells you, clean it up, take care of your plants, or we're going to hire someone to go in and do it for you, and then you will owe that money for... We're doing that. We already have legislated how many
ornaments you can have in your yard. We've talked about, you know, what?
Political signs,
you know, when you can start decorating on the exterior of your home at Christmas and other things. There's no reason that we can't change that as well.
But right now, there's trees and bushes that have not been replaced by the HOA. And they are supposed to be. I mean, the HOA is supposed to maintain the neighborhood, and it's not being done. Who's going to sue the HOA, you know?
Talking about inside the red concrete curbing. We're not talking about the whole...
Well, right now, let me read the covenant, and that, I hope, will clear things up. Section 4.4, duty to manage and care for common areas and association maintenance areas, AMAs. Upon commencement of common assessments and following the installation of landscaping, common water lines, irrigation systems, and related equipment, and other improvements therein by the declarant, which is the developer, in the common and association maintenance areas, the association shall manage, operate, care for, maintain, and repair all landscaping, common fences, and other improvements, excluding dwellings, private walks, private driveways, patio decks, private fences, and any areas enclosed therein, installed thereon.
So then the issue becomes, we have
I just want to say that our little area in our back of our house is all rock now because plants died and we took them out. We paid for that to have them removed. The reason it still is rock back there is I'm waiting to find out if you're going to plant something, and if you do, is there going to be water? Or I will gladly plant something and pay for it, but I want to know if the HOA is still going to have the water there that I'm already paying for.
Or
is it going to take care of the plant?
Or
We are the HOA, so it's going to be your money,
and
my money, and everybody's money. Sometimes people talk to me like, are we going to have the HOA do it? Like this big entity is going to swoop in and take care of everything for us and reach into its pocket and pull green bills out and start spending it on our plants that have died.
Come over to
our
house.
We are the HOA, so we pay for everything. And are you asking, are you going to be able to put in your own drip system?
I don't want my own drip system. We already pay for water that is in that little drip system. It's already installed by the HOA, by us.
That drip system ain't dripping.
It ain't dripping.
So
yes,
that's the problem.
Yes, it is.
In some small areas, but for the most part, it's not.
Maybe 40% of it.
Which 40% are you?
Yeah.
John?
The problem with any mechanical system like an irrigation system is time. And they operate in a very harsh environment. They're subject to cold, to freezing, dirt, and all kinds of things. So over the and trees and roots growing, because that's what really chokes off an irrigation system are tree roots. And you just made a point, Barbara, that you took out those plants. Did you cap off the drip system?
No.
You see? And that's part of the problem. Now that water is still being used, maybe, if it's functioning, but that adds to the overall stress to the system. I mean, you did it as a matter of personal taste. You didn't want those dead plants around your house.
Exactly.
And the HOA I think those were probably barberries, which
they were nasty.
Scourge to humans. But if somebody does take out plants like that, they've got to cap off the system. You know, eliminate those drippers or emitters or whatever. And that's part of the problem with homeowners acting individually.
Yeah. And I had an estimate about what it would cost to, you know, put in my own system. And the guy who came out said, well, you're in a daisy chain of four homes. And if we cap off your area, we still have to make sure water gets to the next home. So that's an added expense. It's not just chopping mine off. It still has to be reconnected mm-hmm. at the other end. Mm-hmm. And you got the estimates, and I just want to explain that a little bit. We had one company who gave us an estimate to replace everything. The common areas, irrigation system, as well as the drip system. And then we had the lesser, am I wrong on that? Okay, you explain then. $75,000 was one estimate for the drip system, and the other was to reuse the current pumps and so forth that are 25 years old and just replace around the homes, and that was the lesser cost. But those were estimates. Let's keep that in mind, that estimates can go up as well as go down.
So, are you saying that they were not, it isn't what I would call a firm estimate? No. There was no detail to it.
Who was on
a couple?
Omar Salman was very detailed.
However, how many plants do you have in your yard? What are your water needs? And would that gentleman put the right drippers to meet the needs of that plant? And it very quickly it becomes quite complicated. Redoing, because as Brian and some of the original people have pointed out, that original drip system was supposed to drip three plants. Is that correct, Brian?
Well, when the development was done, and John can correct me if I'm wrong, but the CCRs were written at the time of the conception of the development. I don't know exactly how many plants were put at each house, but for the majority of them, there were probably two in the back and two in the front from an aesthetic purpose all the way through. The drip system was installed at that time to service those particular plants, which it done that with no problem. Now, things have been added drastically, and everybody wants their own little portion of the world. Well, you've just overtaxed the system. And secondly, the drip system, as John said, this is a 3/4 inch line. So the amount of water that goes through that line in 1 minute is not sufficient to supply the entire block with all these additional plants. I'm not going to name any names. You all know who you are that have all of these plants around your foundation, and you are relying on that water to take care of them. In my opinion, and this is my own opinion, is that I'm subsidizing your plants, which was never intended to be done.
So how do you think it would look if we had two plants in the front, two in the back? Does that attract the neighborhood? No.
Well, it must have attracted somebody at the time that we sold the houses. So that debunks that idea.
Right. We've got a question, Brian. Somebody made the comment that each system took care of four homes. Is there one main?
No, there's four. There's four different drip systems.
Well, there's more.
Well, actually five. Actually five.
Well, there's 40 some homes.
Yeah.
That they're taking care of. So it's eight homes.
It runs the full length.
Okay. I thought maybe there were individual.
No. In block
homes.
Block one. There's two drip systems. In block two, there's two drip systems, and you have an entrance island at the north end that has its own drip system. So there's five drip systems.
Right. What about the retention areas?
No drip systems in the retention.
Raise your hand so we can get the recorder.
I want to say something nice about you, Brian.
What's that?
Every time I look out my back window, you are down on your knees in a water
We try.
Say the same damn thing. You summed it up beautifully because that's how it was originally.
Yes.
And it,
yeah.
There's an old adage: make a plan, execute the plan. You know the plan's going to go off the rails. Throw away the plan. That's what happened. You had a plan, and the plan went off the rails. But you summed it up beautifully. That's it.
And there's,
you did break your ass off.
And when you talk about the HOA replacing in the AMA area for the plants, there are some individuals that never liked that plant. They think that their home looks a lot better aesthetically without that particular item there. I don't want to have it replaced. So you have that issue as well. That it's not, and it's kind of like our homes. We went in, we bought these. Kudos to John and everybody else who designed these homes. They're lovely. They're beautiful homes, okay? But there's a lot of people here that have
updated.
Just laughing, but I think it would have been easier to remodel it with a bulldozer and cheaper. But anyhow, you've remodeled your home. Not only the outside, but the outside needs remodeled as well. There are some plants, these dogwoods that we have a lot of, is probably one of the worst plants that you could ever plant. It grows fast, it's got foliage on it, everything else, but they're so unruly, and to manage and keep them trimmed to where they look halfway decent, it's a chore. It's tough to make them look good. And it's kind of like me. I was a good-looking guy when I was 21.
Pete, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, just, you know, 6.5 years we've been here, I've never seen a drop of water come out of the sprinkler system. Not one drop. The drip system. Yeah, not once. And that's okay, because I water myself, and it's very easy. I use a hose, but you could use soaker hoses. You could do the same thing laying on the ground. Wouldn't cost you anything. But I am supplementing everybody else that has a drip system. And my water, my cost comes out of my house.
Joker.
Now, I really planted a whole lot of stuff, and I would not expect the HOA to pay for it. I mean, I plant stuff. I take care of myself. I understand the fact that I don't have any drip system really doesn't bother me at all. Like you said, Deb, I think that anything within the borders, the homeowners, I don't see any reason to not take care of the stuff within the red borders around the house.
I would just like to say that there are people who are not at our meeting today who are not able to care for their property, and that needs to be taken into consideration. And I've been in the community board, it'll be 8 years in January. I have absolutely no idea what was planted originally compared to what was there when I moved in, which I've ripped out a lot of because it was 16 rose bushes. And I didn't care. I mean, they just have a lifespan and it's over, okay? And
none
of the shade and so forth.
Very few of us even would pretend to know what were original plantings. And I think it's a dumb idea to try to base whether it comes out of the HOA's expense. And this is my idea. I'm on the board. I'm not speaking for the board now. I'm speaking for myself. I think it doesn't make sense to me, like I said, to do a genealogical search on what, who planted it. Because based on who planted it, that's going to determine whether or not the owner of the home takes it out at their expense, or if the HOA has Proscape take it out at everybody's expense. We need to come up with a rule, a new rule that meets present day needs.
Standards.
And the HOA original rules that were put together before the homes were even built served their purpose. They have been, they were great as long as it lasted, but we're past them now, and we have to look at something new. We have to update them, in my opinion. And that's going to take money, but we're talking about very expensive, high-ticket items. Having experts help us with our HOA bylaws and rules, drip systems, whether we put them in individually or if we have a blocks one and two HOA or drip system that services those blocks that handled by the HOA, those are big ticket items. Aren't you new folks glad you moved in?
Can I just mention, not having any history with this HOA, but we belong to two, well, more than two, but three or four others. And right now, we've had all of our documents redone at the others. And they're not nearly as expensive as you said. There are firms that do those, and that's all they do. And because of all the laws, everybody has to redo their docs. And they're you know, relatively inexpensive. I mean, not $12,000. That's what you mentioned.
Well, we need to do research, don't we?
Yeah.
But I don't want to do research on it and spend a lot of time talking to lawyers. And I have talked to some over the phone, and those numbers have been thrown out at me. But maybe that's just because they're too busy and they don't want us to darken their door. I don't know. But anyway, if people are interested in trying to bring our rules into compliance with what the laws are, then we need to meet with experts and get some firm numbers and then come back to the homeowners for a vote on it.
Yeah. And I guess I'll say, I don't see it as optional.
Yeah.
I don't either.
We're flying by the seat of our pants. I don't feel very comfortable about it. And frankly, I will say that's one reason I'm stepping off the board, because I don't want liability personally. And for those who say, oh, that couldn't happen, it can happen.
Yep.
Here, over here.
Yes?
I was on a board in Gun Barrel that put itself in a position of being sued, and it was ugly. It was hateful between board members and the community members. There were threats made. And it was all because they would not update their CC&Rs and wanted to do things, board members wanted to do things, the community people wanted something else, and it was awful. There is absolutely no reason why we should not update the HOA covenants, because without it, the whole association can be sued, and if your rules are not according to the law, you will lose. And that's an even greater expense than to just have them revised and updated. It's a basic maintenance issue that has to be addressed, and I can't imagine trying to defend HOA covenants that are not concurrent with current law.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Excellent. Yes. And who is in favor of serving on a committee? I'd be glad to head up the committee. But to look into this, and so we can figure out what the price tag is and what it's going to involve, I think we need to take some steps to look into it.
Yes, I would.
You would be on the committee?
Yeah.
Great.
I would.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
I can do it.
Great. We've got a committee.
Yeah.
Just moved in and find out who they use, since they got the people in a neighborhood where they did update.
Can you find out who they went through?
I can, yeah. we can contact this resident on both of them and find out who they utilized.
Okay, were you under a property management company at your former HOA?
We are on both of them.
On their board, done that.
Okay, yes, Patsy.
I have a friend who has just gone through this. She's president of her HOA board, and I am getting the name of her attorney, their cost, who they went to, and they are they live near Fort Collins, and they do have a property management firm. They had a very bad experience with one, and so the new one, they put them through the ringer as far as clarifying exactly what they wanted, and they have been, the relationship is going very well. So,
might get that name too.
Yes.
We looked into property management 5 years ago, and the fees were going to be astronomical, and you all as homeowners had no say. Yep, the management company would run it, they'd do what they wanted, and if you think you want something done now, they will show up when they can. They're like getting people out there. So.
We came from a community with a property management company. It was inexpensive. They did, you know, you'd call, everybody would call, and then you'd say, well, you know, my bush is dying. Randy, can you get my bush replaced? Well, we'll put you on the, you know, on the list, and, you know, and they come out and put it in. But that system was different. We managed our backs, and they managed everything in the front. So very different type of, and we had three bushes in the front and one tree. Yeah. But it was a very nice community. And, but like I say, it, you know, this community is different, and it grew, and it's grown into a lovely community, which is very desirable, and we need to keep it that way, and we need to update and change with the times so we can keep it looking as sharp. So, but I will get you all that information.
If I can say one more thing, in reading the CC&Rs more closely than I had when I bought the house, I was really impressed with how they were written and how responsibilities were laid out and what the board could do, what the association could do, and especially, you know, the architectural committee. That was a very important part, that any time you choose anything on the exterior, that it's guided by an architectural committee. So I honestly think what we have in our CC&Rs is probably very solid, just needs to be updated with whatever laws have come into place. And maybe there are a few changes that we want. But I guess I was really impressed with them.
Well, I think they're solid, but we're asking now,
yeah,
how much should we be responsible, yeah, for with drip system plantings, right, inside the concrete border, and so forth. Those need to be looked at. We kind of developed a little bit beyond that. Yes, it was great. It lasted for 25 years, those rules passed. We got our bang for our buck out of those.
I'm still thinking about, you know, if I were to put in my own drip system, it wouldn't be that much more money to put in my own irrigation system for my little lot. And if we're going to go that route, does that make sense for everyone to do? And I think that's something we need to consider going forward. And then it would be a simple thing of just divvying up the common areas. 147 each household, yeah, pays for.
We already do, don't we?
Yeah. Well, it's 2080. So.
Which is representative of about the percentage of land that is common compared to the whole. That's how
but you're including land that's also the footprint of the homes that don't get, doesn't get watered, and the driveways don't get watered.
Saying the areas in orange compared to the areas around the houses. Okay.
Well, I added that up from the Boulder County Clerk's map.
Okay.
And it's not, it's a little less than half of the area is AMA area that's actually covered, but we're paying 80% of the cost. So that's just something to look at going forward. I don't want to argue the point now. I'm saying that by the time you subtract the gravel areas, which do need some maintenance, the driveways and the sidewalks and the footprint of the house and decks or whatever, it is less than the whole area that's, you know, it's not all maintained.
John, do you have a comment?
Well, I probably don't agree. You've got an expense. 80% of those homes are in AMA areas, association maintenance areas, and 20% of them are not. It seems like pretty simple math to say, okay, you take 80% of it, and you take 20% of it. Whether that's a driveway, because driveways get snowplowed, or whether it's a gravel area somewhere. I think, you know, you've basically got, the denominator is the number of homes.
Yes, yes.
I see your point, and, okay. I just think that it does seem a little lopsided to me that blocks 1 and 2 are paying 80%, and 80% of snow removal. You guys get snow removal too of block 3.
But we fertilize our yards, we mow our own yards.
I understand that.
And the lawn maintenance is a big
part of the benefit of being in this type of a community is there's an aesthetic that the total community creates. Now, we haven't had, well, I won't say we haven't had because we did have an issue, but block 3, for the most part, the homes have been well maintained. And in keeping with blocks 1 and 2. And so there's a very common look to the community. That look adds value.
And I think that's why we have a HOA, is to maintain the property value
that's exactly the way
we want.
One of the things I wanted to say, Deb, and Bort, was that the State Association and Real Estate Commission is a pretty good resource on common interest community issues. And I think a good place to start could be getting involved with the State Association, with Real Estate Commission a little bit, and they may even offer a review. I think that if you go to an attorney, you're probably going to be looking at a $3,000 to $5,000 retainer, and that may go a long way because they can look through these covenants pretty quickly and see what's not in compliance, what is in compliance. We're fortunate in that we haven't had a specific complaint or an issue come up. Right now we're kind of dealing with this maintenance issue, but I think this is a good time to do it. And so, you know, do we need to spend $15,000 or $30,000? God, I hope not.
Amen.
But I think there are resources that we can go to.
John, what do we meet with? Nima and Bola? Didn't you look over
the CCA? Well, the last attorney that reviewed our documents was probably about 7 or 8 years ago, and that was Frescona and Joyner. A law firm in Boulder, well regarded in real estate issues, and the particular attorney, her name was Cindy Manzano. I don't know if she's still even in practice, but
there are other attorneys that are really good with covenants.
John, was that a full review of the entire CC&Rs and
they went through the document
to bring them up to
at the time we had some specific issues, but by and large the opinion was is that our documents are in pretty good shape. Now that was 8 years ago.
I knew that you were having problems with a particular homeowner at that time. And I thought maybe you dealt with that issue about the homeowner, and I wasn't sure
we also asked for a pretty good review.
Yeah, I wondered how much of a review they really gave the, and let's hope that they are in good shape. I mean, I don't want to spend a lot of money.
I wish I had a copy of the opinion, but there was a written opinion on it, but I have looked for it and I can't find it.
A lot of the current updates to the laws have to do with water.
Yeah.
And, you know, xeriscaping and all of that. And, you know, that's something that it's not in our CC&Rs, but maybe should be, that sort of thing. Like you can put the state of, well, HOA cannot prevent someone from putting artificial turf in their backyard. They can't prevent somebody from xeriscaping, except that the HOA has the final say on how much, what materials, what plants, but they have to be specified, that sort of thing. So that's where we aren't necessarily in compliance. And also flags, that's another thing that's changed. And I just know this because there's one law firm, Altitude Law Firm, that the HOA law, they have a whole bunch of videos, you can go on YouTube, and every year they have one that's on the updates for that current year. And they're lengthy, they're like an hour long each, but the Department of Regulatory Agencies recommends that HOAs review those, just for their own information. Mm-hmm. So there are changes that we do need to kind of incorporate going forward.
Well, I think a lot of them have come about because, in Denver anyway, particularly South Denver, those are huge HOAs, and there's been houses leaned, and the homeowners have brought the suit because they weren't notified properly and so forth. That is one thing, since we don't have a management company, we are hands-on, and we, you know, what should be happening is, in each of the blocks, you have a representative. And you should be going to that representative on the board and saying, I have an issue. Can we bring this up? Can I speak at the board meeting? Can we call a special board meeting? Can I discuss it? Because what happens is you send something out mad, and people go, well, what's this about and what's happening? And they don't know. So I think one of the things is that we're only 46 properties. We're not a huge. We have no swimming pool. We have no community area. So we are able to have, the board has insurance, liability insurance, O&E, and that obviously doesn't go terribly far, and the premiums are good right now. You put a class action suit in and you end up going through the roof with your premiums. I have attempted to keep dues low with the intent that we have covered all of our bills. We're not doing something because we don't have money. Obviously, we've looked at, even when I came on, we looked at, do we redo the CC&Rs? Do we get a management company? Everything was generalized in such a way that it didn't fit our little 46 house situation without going extremely expensive, and for what? What would we have gotten out of it as far as a real answer to the questions that are now coming up? So I think it's certainly worth a review and something we should do. And we've got a committee put together. I think we do well doing committees. It appears that a lot of you don't like being on boards and don't want to just be on a board. But you can participate here and get your voices heard by being on a committee and delving in a little more. Something's important to you, delve into it. I will say too,
you all should be thanking your lucky stars we have someone like Brian in here. He has saved oodles of money. He's had back surgery. We don't need him doing hard labor, but he does it still. And he has replaced valves and out of his own thing. And then finally, Morsley came to me and said, can we have a credit card for the HOA? Can we go down and replace what I, because I'm out now. And yes, we will replace those. We don't want people paying out of their pocket for something that belongs to the whole association. But if you do choose that you have specifics that you want of plantings and so forth, have to be a little bit considerate that your choices may not be what other people want. And those people are paying for what you want, if the association doesn't. So just want some...
We need some guidelines.
We need to be, and we need to not be at each other's throats, not be antagonistic about, well, I want it this way, or it should have been done that way, or I moved in for zero maintenance. Surely you didn't move in here to think you could just block and leave. I mean, it's kind of...
Some people have.
I know they have, and I don't...
And if there's nothing to dissuade them, they were sold on that
apartment. Because...
No, what I'm saying is, it was sold under those terms.
But who, well, then you're a realtor.
That's realtor.
Yeah.
Well, no. It, there's nothing in our CC&Rs that say you can't lock and leave, that
right.
You have to be there to maintain your property. It says it's maintained. And if we want to change that, I have no problem with that. But right now, that's how it stands.
I guess I just never thought of a single-family home as something that you could lock and lock.
Right, the exterior.
Yeah, because
the exterior.
Yeah. Who manages their furnace? Who takes care of their furnace?
Yeah.
Who, their hot water heater? What if their hot
I'm
water
I'm talking
heater?
Outside maintenance, not inside maintenance.
But that, how you call that lock?
But that lock and leave, it truly doesn't exist unless they take care of the whole thing.
We leave for part of the year, and the fact that shoveling is done and that the lawn is watered and mowed makes it possible for us to be gone without it being obvious that we were gone, and that is part of why we.
And
that's part of why we bought into here, and that's the most part.
Yeah, the yard is mowed and such, but I can actually lock and quote exterior wise because I hooked some plants up to drip and they're getting watered and that's nice. I don't have to get Dennis to come over and water my pots. To me, you know, that's the way it should be in these houses. We should have that opportunity to do that if we choose to. And it's nice. And actually, my plants are looking better than when I watered them.
Okay, Chris, do you have a question?
I have a question, and it's kind of related and kind of unrelated. And that is about a reserve for capital assets like irrigation.
Let me go through the budget then.
Well, I don't want to get into too much detail on. I just want to understand if we're reserving, like, for irrigation issues.
We have a $45,000 CD that is earning over 5% on it. So we have done well this last 2024 year.
And what is that for?
That is what we did is we collected from each of the original homeowners. When you bought in for a reserve, and it was two times the dues of what it was at that time, which were extremely low, obviously. And the thing that John pointed out needs to be reiterated. Everything was reasonable and realistic at the time. We now have 25 years on this property, on everything. If you want an entire new sprinkler system, you are not going to get a snap of your fingers, and it is going to have several months, if not six plus, in torn up landscaping, plants dying, trees dying, roots being cut, and everything else. So you have to look at how to do this in a reasonable way.
We have a lot of big ticket items. I don't think, and our sprinkler system for the lawn areas is working. Some of you might disagree. There were a few brown spots this summer. It was also one of the hottest summers on record with the least rainfall. And overall, I think the grass is not...
It's coming back.
We don't need new sprinklers. We need to maintain the ones we have. And Brian called in experts, and when they got out there, they positioned the sprinkler heads. They made sure that they were all working. And what a difference it makes. Plus, he upped the amount of water. Am I correct? You increased the water. All of that costs money, and some of you may say that's not very friendly to the planet. But we've got a lot of complaints about grass dying. If you don't want dead grass, then we're going to have to use water. It's very expensive. Our water bill annually runs in the 20,000+ range. What is it usually?
We're 18,000.
No, 18,000. I'm sorry.
And it wasn't really dead grass. It was dormant grass.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So back to your question. We currently have $63,000 in the bank accounts. We have about $17,000 of that left to spend before the end of the year.
Does that $63,000 include the $45,000 CD?
Yes. That's total in all accounts.
My question really is...
And that $45,000 is a reserve.
Right. For what purpose?
For anything that is needed. A reserve
in
general.
It is not restricted
Been stated in our way of dealing with it from when John set it up originally was that we have a contract, unending, does not end, with Northern Colorado Water. They have their pipelines through the west side open space, okay? They can tear that up at any time they want to, and we are responsible for putting it back whatever way we both agree on, whether that includes sprinkler systems, whether that includes zeroscape, whatever happens that is in demand at the time, that's what we have done. Our intent originally was to have a reserve that was 2x dues, which was, I'll find it, but it was a much lower number. And we have that, it was $8,400 for the whole association, the 2x dues. When you buy and sell a house, that is what is exchanged between the buyer and the seller. We have always maintained at least $20,000 as a reserve, always. We've now built it up because what we are doing henceforth, and we started it back when Deb made the suggestion, and that's what the board decision was, anytime we have an overage on our budget for snow removal, you will receive a special assessment, all 46 homes. And that built up because we have been low on snow, as we can tell from the fact we don't have moisture. We've been low on snow for the last 2 years. We've collected that the 3 years back. Collected it in the second year back for the third year back when we were short. So we have this amount of money sitting here. I am proposing that we raise the dues on blocks 1 and 2 to $195 a month. We were at $178 right now. On block 3, the 20% would bring it to $83 a month. We are at $77 right now. That will add another roughly $5,000 over our intended expenses that we have contracts on, shortly have contracts on for 2025. So we are slowly building this back in and doing just that. Whether it's for redoing the CC&Rs, whether it's for new sprinkler systems, whatever happens. But remember, the AMA part is what blocks 1 and 2, 29 homes, vote on. Yes.
Just a question. With that extra money and stuff, why aren't we doing things like taking out the ugly stumps
in
the whole neighborhood?
Okay.
Yeah, I know you got one. Do you have more than one?
Brian, I'll let you speak to that.
On, are you referring to the one on Box Elder Drive? Across the street from your house?
Yeah, pretty much. I think you've got that scheduled, right?
And there's one in front of the little library.
One in front of John's house, and when you come in the neighborhood, it's really ugly. And there's some other ones in the back. The trees have been taken out, and nobody's taken those stumps out either.
In the back of?
In behind our house along that line, there was a Cleveland pear back there between, I think, Judith's house back there at the stump. Still up that much. It's a trap. It's a, you know, trip hazard back there. Those, if we've got this extra money,
well, to get a piece of equipment in some places to do a stump grind is impossible. Okay. Granted, the one across the street from yours and the one that is at the north entrance into the spot, those were taken out in 2023, those trees were, or excuse me, in the February of 2024, okay? At the time when I meet with the arborist, we walk the property each year, and we identify our problem trees, what needs to be taken care of, and as far as a degree of severity, okay, this one here, and staying within a budget of that without breaking the bank, so to speak. Without removing the stumps, we were able to take care of a lot of the trees in trimming rather than spending the money on the stump removal, on the two stump removals. Getting those trees taken care of to prevent breakage from heavy snow loads, if that would take place, maybe some disease, maybe some dead branches in the trees. So aesthetically, trying to make them look as good as we possibly could at the time and not spend the money on stump removal. As the year come about, then trees that don't necessarily need that much work, we've done work on a lot of the trees. Now, within the budget, we're able to remove those stumps. It will be easier to remove it after it's aged somewhat rather than when it's green as a gourd as well. The thing that does concern a person is there is irrigation systems in that area. And when the stump grinder grabs a hold of that, it could be, you know, devastating. You might be able to find out where the valve is that serves it because it pulled it all the way up there. But
they do have equipment that can go right down the sidewalk, small equipment. It could circle a thing, get rid of it with probably 10 minutes. They've got that equipment. Now, the people that we've got may not have that equipment, but there is all kind of new stump removal equipment.
And that's probably true. There's no doubt about that. I am aware of the one stump that you're talking about, and the reason that it was because they don't have the equipment to get in there. So that's why that one's there. It is, I looked at it the other day, it is getting pretty dry. I can take an axe over there and get rid of it. But we were exaggerating a little bit from this distance. It's kind of like catching a fish. It's only about like this.
That's what I said. It's about like that. And it's a trip hazard for her particularly that lives there. So it needs to be taken out. She's asked for it, I know, since she moved in. And it really needs to be taken out.
If we've got this excess money,
we can get a truck. We can get a stump removal.
Don't call it excess money. It's reserved.
It can be taken care of,
but those stumps are going to be removed in February, okay, as well as a lot of other tree work that's going to be done in January and February. There's a lot of trees that cannot be trimmed due to the type of the tree that it is. It has to be dormant before that can take place.
If somebody's planting, I think, the wrong kind of trees too, there's a crabapple tree right across from the Marlins over there, and that, and why didn't the cleanup crew or whatever they do clean that stuff up at the same time when they're mowing the lawns and everything?
Well, the lawnmower probably mulches as much as they
industry can. It's a wrong kind of tree. There, a tree that'd be taken out, and a regular tree that doesn't drop fruit like that.
Well, in that particular area, it's pretty close to the sidewalk there as well.
Yeah, you chip on everything.
And what probably needs to be done? That tree isn't in very good shape anyhow. It could just be removed and
it could go away.
Don't ever put another one in right. there because it's going to heave the sidewalk at some point in time if you.
So that's what you're doing there. There.
But that is something that you know. We can put on the list, but it's definitely not going to be a high priority right
well,
now.
Well, can they clean it up to clean the landscaping?
They can do anything for money.
Well, it shouldn't take 2 seconds to do that. Pick it up
well,
and clean it up.
But I'll ask them if they can do that. The tree, the apples ought to be just picked off and thrown away.
Are those apples or crab apples?
Yeah.
Whatever they are.
Picked off, thrown off. But anyhow.
Well, it's a mess.
Yeah, John.
Thank you for that.
Well, I just wondered if can we set a...
Okay, folks, we need it quiet so we can hear the question being asked. Thank you.
Can we plan another meeting for this, you know, will the committee have a report before the December meeting? Can we plan on that or not?
We can try. And you know something? As I sit here today and try to come up with reasonable approaches today, I'm not sure that we're going to be ready to vote on a drip system in December, at our December meeting on December 4th. I think we're too ignorant to vote on it. I think we need to take a look at this, the CCNRs and our bylaws, and then we need to decide and ask how can we amend our rules if we want to make it such that each homeowner in blocks 1 and 2 has their own individual drip system, so that we can find out what is the cost of amending the rules to make that happen, should that be the outcome of the vote. We don't know at this point.
I just wondered to have a plan, that's all.
Yes,
well,
Chris?
I wholeheartedly agree with what you're saying, that we've got a lot to look at before we're ready to make a decision.
Mr. Fremont, you have something?
It's kind of an editorial note. A lot of people have been bringing up individual issues with the trees and stuff, and those are all valid and important. But I think we've kind of strayed off of our agenda. And there's a process for these individual requests to be made. I don't think the board meeting is the best time to do it with the agenda that we currently have.
Okay, John, did you have something to say?
Deborah?
Yes.
I want to go back to what Sue
was saying. Mr. Marlin, did you have something?
Well, I don't have anything terribly prophetic to say, but I know that the board's aware of, as time goes on, these trees get bigger every year, and they're going to require more maintenance, more trimming, etc. They're an important part of the aesthetic value of the neighborhood. But that's going to become a major budget item as time goes on. And that's
in my opinion, that's money well spent. I agree. They make a beautiful neighborhood. They provide so many good things. And I know there are what I'm going to call, we're somewhat of a perfectionistic neighborhood, in my humble opinion, in that when little leaves fall down from trees, when they have seeds that fall, or apples, fruit as you call it, and it makes a mess, who cares? It's a tree and it's providing lots of good stuff. I just don't see that as a problem. That's me talking. I'm not speaking for the board.
I agree. Yes.
Yes, Tony.
Maybe we do like Bennett.
I just wanted to circle back.
Pay for the tax and leave last year, so I would like personal.
I just wanted to circle back for a second. Did I hear, I think Sue said, I think I heard you say, Sue, that you bought in because of an HOA maintenance free subdivision.
Yes, yes. I kept my ad, my real estate listing.
Right, so it gets back to that full circle again. Are we trying to decide with CCRs or whatever the heck we want to address, are we an HOA maintenance free plots 1 and 2, free maintenance subdivision, meaning snow removal, maintenance on 2 feet. There are some people here who are a little older than we are, maybe can't move as quick as we do.
I don't
think I'm moving a lot slower than what I did yesterday. But I think it boils down to, yeah, we bought in years ago when we were younger, obviously. We bought in because it was a maintenance-free subdivision, snow removal, grass mowing, plant taken care of, voila, easy lifestyle. Block 3 was different. We might have bought a lot in block 3, but there was none available at that time. But there, as Brian knows, he keeps this out pretty simple. He maintains it the way he chooses. Somebody else may have a Z in plants. Block 3 maintains their own. Blocks 1 and 2 used to be free maintenance and left out.
I think you raised an important question. I think we're at a crossroads. And if something comes up for a vote with our entire HOA body present, it's going to be, do we take care of certain little areas that we're responsible for, or do we have somebody come over and do everything for us? If that's the case, don't tie yellow ribbons on your bushes anymore, because we turn over all control to the HOA and whoever it decides to hire. It's ProScapes right now. It might be XYZ company 5 years from now. And if you don't like what they do, tough crud. You're in with the group and you take whatever comes.
Same thing if you put a management company in.
So I think we may be at a crossroads where we decide if certain small areas, I at least don't anticipate that we're going to go out there, each of us with our lawnmowers, and start mowing the yards. But our flower bed, maybe we take care of that individually. If we want a drip system, maybe we take care of that individually. That has to be determined.
And, you know, you don't want to trim your bushes? Well, maybe we can get a list of preferred people that would come in and, you know, call Bob and he'll come over and help you trim.
Kind of like our gutters. We're responsible for blowing our gutters out, cleaning them. Or not. Maybe people will vote for every plant will be taken care of by our group lawn care people. If that's the vote, then that's the vote.
But there's something in the middle. There's the foundation drip, and if you add more plants, you're responsible. That's where we are now, right?
I don't keep track of if you add a few more plants. We don't have, we're not going to have a blueprint on plants and know who's responsible for watering certain plants or taking or removing them in the fall. It's too
complicated.
Too complicated. Too many details to possibly keep track of.
So what I'm hearing is we're going to have a committee that will investigate updating the CCNRs. And once that's done, we will further investigate the irrigation issues and what we want to do. Does that sum it up?
And also circle back to the issue of how much, if any, responsibility do the homeowners in blocks 1 and 2 take for the care of their plants and bushes?
Would that be included in the update to the CCNRs? Wouldn't it have to be written down?
To be,
yeah.
And,
okay.
And before they're updated, we would need to know what people
okay.
want.
Okay.
So we can put it in the rule if there's a...
I think that's what's been missing in the CCNRs.
Brian, did you have a comment?
No, I was looking for Jamie. Jamie's had her hand up. But,
thank you. I understand that we need to have the CCNRs updated. I mean, that makes perfect sense to me. And I'm not opposed to an increase in my dues at all, but I guess I would want to have a firm understanding of what my dues are actually covering. Because like Tony said, like when I moved in, I was under the impression my property on block 2 was maintenance free, basically.
Right.
The water ran my perimeter as well as the lawn was being taken care of. And I am a lock and leave person, you know, I travel. So I like knowing that I have that my lawn's being watered, that my perimeter's got the drip system going if it's working, that I've got my snow removal so that if I go, I don't have to worry about that piece of it. So I guess if we raise those dues, which again, I'm not opposed to, I'm just saying I want to know what I'm going to, what is that covering exactly? Because I think Tony shared that when he first moved in, it was more like, yeah, it was like block 1 and 2 were maintenance-free and that's what the dues were covering, and that's why it's considerably more expensive than block 3 people because they take care of theirs. So I guess understanding we have to update those documents, but at the same time, I need to have an understanding of what are my dues really going to cover for me to agree to an increase to that. So.
Mm-hmm. I have a response to that. You know, I moved here and thinking we'll take care of it. I didn't move a snow shovel there. I found out you do need a snow shovel someday. They can't get out there immediately and take care of it. And we have to deal with the restrictions of practicality and when can things get done. You know, whether the question I've thought about too is we talked about this air escape issue with the survey you all had, and a lot of people wanted it, but they also want the green grass. And what do we do? And also an issue, we've had an issue with some people here about spraying. Herbicides, pesticides. I think that's a big issue for a lot of people here, it seems to me. And do we decide that by what the ProScape decides we should put on the lawn? Or do we say how much we want to use it? You know? I think we should do things as a community, you know. I mean, we're all partners in this thing. It isn't like things get done for us. You get done for us to retire, but the decisions of what we want to do are described by law or by the values we want to live under, and the conditions we want to live under. So that's all I can say. It's all of us having to get input into this and take responsibility for it.
Sue Fortney.
I think that one of the driving factors in looking at revising or updating the covenants is that this whole water issue and the responsibility of block 1 and 2 owners for whatever maintenance. So might be a good idea to maybe just take a straw poll of how people feel like that, because if we're going to go to a law firm and say, hey, we want you to update and let us know how to change this particular covenant about water issues, we need to know, tell them what you want.
We're not going to be able to tell them what we want. We're going to be able to only say, what do we need to do if there's a vote this way, and what would be involved if they vote the other way. And we have to vote on the water, the watering system before we update the CCNRs, but we need to find out how much money that's going to cost, because that may impact how you vote on a drip system. It didn't make sense?
What? It didn't make much sense to me.
It didn't make any sense?
No.
Okay, well.
We can have a strong vote. We can all vote here today on however you feel about it.
Yeah.
But
No, as long as the vote is just a general interest.
It's just an indicator of how the people who are here today, which is roughly half, is it about half of our HOI population, so.
I think what Deb was trying to say is, you mentioned before, we're ignorant about a lot of aspects here. Do we have enough information to have a vote? Is that some of us?
We can go ahead and, I only want votes from people who live in blocks 1 and 2, because block 3 is out of this thing on the drip system. What? Nobody's going to be held to anything. This is just a let's see what people think today from blocks 1 and 2 only. Block 3 people, keep your hands down. All right, from blocks 1 and 2, who would one vote for each homeowner or each home?
Each household,
yes. Who votes for redoing
the drip system
for blocks 1 and 2? And it services everybody in blocks 1 and 2, and you'll be under whatever rules we set up for blocks 1 and 2 on the new drip system.
What's the alternative? What's our
the alternative is? The alternative would be that we each put our own drip system in if we so choose, or we use
and cut off the one that's existing now. Is that correct?
Well, I'll cut it off, let it die a natural death.
What are you talking about? Taking the water off of your own home, having a plumber come in and give you a separate access line and do your own thing?
Yes.
That probably makes more sense than other things.
Because you want to give us
information. You're from block 3, so.
Well, I do my own, but that would make more sense if you want more plants. Less plants, you know it's going to work. And as far as the
board limits how many plants.
Order.
I'm sure there will be rules for how many plants, how many drip lines. You bet there's going to be restrictions. We're not going to have somebody that wants a dozen tomato plants and a dozen something else, and and they get to put in however many drippers they want. There will be rules and restrictions.
Well, you know, one thing a hydrology engineer can tell you, the size of the line, how much water pressure you need, how many drip systems you could put on each system, and not just arbitrarily, you know, throw it out there.
Yeah, that's not what we're voting on now. They want to do a straw vote only to find out who in block 1, and I agree with
Brian. I'm not voting, which, so.
Pardon?
We're not voting.
We're taking a straw poll vote for 1 and 2.
block one wide watering system drip line.
To pay for.
No, not pay for your own. This is a HOA line.
HOA provided.
HOA provided.
Yes, line.
She got one now.
Okay. All right. So, that's block 1.
So there's 2 votes for that.
Okay.
Because you're in 1 household.
Right.
Okay.
Did you raise your hand?
No. I didn't raise my hand.
Oh, I thought you were. Okay. I saw 2.
Okay. So that's block 2.
Block 2, how many are in favor of paying for a new block 2 drip system that services everybody on the block with rules attached? I thought you wanted your own.
I don't care. I have room for five plants.
Well, what I'm saying is you're going to do this to what. So one, two, three, and then what you need to do is ask how many block one don't want it.
Yes.
If we're doing straw poll.
Ask the question again.
Yeah, how many people in block one want to do their own drip system or hold a hose on their plant? Or what? Or let them do whatever you want.
Yeah, do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want. All right. So what I've got is 2, 1, and 4,
no, they have 3.
There's 3. Oh, right, sorry.
I don't feel comfortable voting for either one yet because I still want more information.
Well, this is a straw poll.
I know it's a straw poll, but you know,
if you want more information, you can talk to the committee.
I have a straw for my own system.
What?
A half a vote for my own system.
We're going for a whole vote.
I want to see some numbers before I decide to vote.
And that's actual.
You saw the committee report. That's what they're in.
What are the things when you're talking about this kind of an expense that you can look at, rather than just writing out a check from the association, you could do it in the form of a special assessment. That special assessment could be financed over a period of time, so it's not a big hit. There's different ways to pay for these things.
And we don't have hard numbers. We have soft numbers that were given in the form of estimates. That's what we have. That's what people were willing to give the committee. Block two, who would like to have a...
Their own
individual drip system or whatever else they want to put in place of it.
One,
two, three, four, five.
Chris, you're not voting?
Not on
the
block two.
I'd love to. Oh, yeah. On the block one.
All right.
There's one thing I'd like to... give you something to think about is that with the community drip system, okay, that system could be brand new tomorrow, and the day after something could go south on it, and the amount of time that it takes to get it corrected, all your plants could be in jeopardy. Okay. Secondly, the HOA is going to determine when the drip system is turned on, and it's going to determine when the drip system is turned off. If your plants require moisture before or after that, it's up to you to take care of it. Secondly, if you have your own irrigation system, you're in total charge. You don't have to worry about depending on anybody else. And if the system goes down, you're right there. You're going to know it. And it will, in my opinion, add value to your property as well.
We might have to rule where there are 5 drippers allowed per household. I just picked that number out of the sky. Maybe it would be 7.
You know, you need an expert on that.
And,
who knows?
And, but you might want 25 drippers. And if that's not allowed, then you got to think about that. So it may limit how many plants you can keep watered. You would be operating under the HOA's restrictions.
I've done some investigating on the drip system as far as the the workings of it when there has been issues. This spring, somebody brought to my attention that the drip system wasn't working. What the problem was the valve that controls that particular circuit had corroded wires. All I had to do was to clean up the connections, valve opened up, system's working, water's running out of it. As I start looking at that drip system, there between the delivery point and the point that the complaint was being made at, my estimation was 75 taps on that line, okay? Multiple taps were just squirting out in wide open. The person did not maintain it. They have pulled out the emitter, and it's just, excuse my French, but it's just peeing out a stream into oblivion. So, again, once you start depleting that water, only so much water can go through that pipe over a minute's time, and it's just being depleted by the time it gets to the end. If you have your own system, you'll never have that problem.
You work in your state, Brian. You put a system in, it could go south real quick.
Exactly.
You know that.
You mentioned the cost of highly.
The straw vote has just emphasized how unresolved and how confused and how we need more information. And because we don't know what to do. The second thing is, you talk about wind, rain, dirt, everything impacting these little cap systems.
Don't forget the squirrels.
Oh, that was what I was going to say.
Oh.
Squirrels. We have no, unless you know how to do it, I have no control over the squirrels. And if you put in a brand new $50,000, I'll bet you they'll go right behind you, Brian, and they will chew it up, because I have found little pieces of, I assume, drip.
Yeah.
And they eat them up. And unless we can figure out how to control the line for it and not having a drip system.
They eat my Christmas lights.
When
I
need to move on.
Yeah. Let's put the drip system to rest and
just move on. Just one more question. I will go with the consensus, okay? I just want everybody to know that. But if we vote and everyone does their own drip system, will that include their own water meters?
Of course.
Okay, so... All
right,
then
your water meter that you have right now will meter that.
Okay, in our home, it's a connect to our home.
Exactly.
Okay, the HOA water that would do the rest of the yard, how does this decision affect that?
If everybody has their own drip system, we're probably talking at least, I'm going to guess, if everybody was hooked up, you're talking at least 5,000 gallon of water per month.
And that's very
conservative. And that's just one drip line, and you got four of them. So you're talking 20,000 gallons of water, and that is very conservative over a 30-day period of time. I don't know what the price, off the top of my head, that the city's charging us, but over a year's time, it could be substantial.
Okay. Because that would be taken into consideration.
Yeah.
Brian, you've got the ability to shut all those off?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
The other thing is, if we have, this just affects the little areas around our house, right?
Correct.
And so you're still going to take care of...
Everything else is going to be maintained as far as in the grass area.
Okay.
And believe me, with the sprinkler system that's going on, it is actually watering a lot of your foundation plants, whether you realize it or not. And these plants are established. You know, the drip system is just to kind of get it going. And then after that, the root system and...
If we have all of our own in our little block area, if we have our own, then we don't have to go through any of this...
rigmarole of...
We don't have to get any covenants changed or anything like that. It's our own property.
What we could do is just eliminate that. We could write an addendum, couldn't we? We can't...
It's changing the covenants, and that's...
Well, when you write an addendum, aren't you changing the covenants?
Yeah, if the covenants currently say that its maintenance will be covered by the association,
right, yeah.
You can't just arbitrarily say, no.
We have to vote on it. We have to vote on it. And we have to change the covenants anyway. All the, you know, we need to get up to date anyway.
Tony?
Brian, when you do the math, if it's going to cost a zillion dollars to do a whole system, economically, it might be cheaper to do your own system. I mean, they're talking about an assessment.
Especially when it comes to you folks having to pay for it.
If you're not doing the whole thing, you might even be able to bargain that down.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Patsy, if I'm not mistaken, had a bid for, what, $2,300?
Yeah. If there's 14 homes in block 2 and it's 75 grand to do that, you're talking about close to $600 per household. So you can put that $600 towards your own system. $6,000. So your expense is going to be taken care of putting in your own system right there. And your water bill isn't going to go up.
What was the estimate? Just the wild...
The wild one, I heard him say 75,000.
There wasn't a lot of detail to it.
Yeah, the guy said that would be replacing all the valves and everything. And the drip system.
The other one was just under 20.
But there wasn't...
And the other one was...
23,000. Okay. And that was to...
Let me just ask a general question here. If individually, Patsy, what did you pay to have your sprinkler system put in?
$2,300.
Okay. If it costs $75,000, you've got 29 homes. That's $2,586 per home.
Yep. Yeah.
And
everyone we talked to said $2,500.
You know, so there's not a lot of savings one way or the other to the individual.
Other than down the road.
Yeah. Well, John, and everybody doesn't look and want it, so everybody would have to put in. They can use their own water.
Right.
You don't have to put in.
If you do it piecemeal, it's going to be a management nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you say, okay, this is...
No, it would have to be one way or the other.
Yeah. Everybody's going to put in their own system.
Or nobody.
Because yours is going to get... No, what we got now is going to get cut off.
Why is that? I'm not understanding why it would be a management nightmare, and I don't get it.
I just think all this individuality in an association just becomes very difficult to manage.
Well, we got a lot of that going on right now, I've had to water my own plants for the last 5.5 years that I've lived in my home, so, I mean... All I do is pay for somebody else's drip system if it's working for somebody.
But is your issue what Brian just brought up? The valve was corroded?
How would I know?
And it just needs to be fixed.
I don't know.
You know, I mean, these things do require a lot of maintenance.
It seems like can we have a hybrid? I don't know if we can have a hybrid system where some people have their own and they pay their own and then the rest... Their homes are bypassed as people
but
who
there's
want.
There's no water meter in the other homes.
That's exactly the problem. I agree. It's either or.
Yeah, because there isn't any way of monitoring.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think we either.
Got to be one way or the other. And we spoke about the elderly people, which I'm not calling anybody in here elderly.
I understand.
Okay. Somebody else made that statement. I'm just repeating what I heard. But with those people, are they the gardeners? Are they the ones that's got 75 plants around their homes?
No.
They're probably just happy the way things are, and it's being taken care of. because they're not into that. You know, that's not their thing.
Does plastic plants count?
RC and RSA, you can't have plastic plants. But there's another thing that needs to be changed. Okay, maybe we should start to wrap up here and summarize what we've talked about, if that's possible. And before I do that, is there anybody who has a burning question and feels like they want to make a statement or ask a question before we go to the summary portion of the meeting?
I'm going to open my mouth again, but this is to thank you all, because I know how much work goes into being on the board, and we do appreciate it.
Everybody does their job, and it is a hard job, and I will be surprised if people are lining up to be nominated for the opening that I so graciously
provided.
He wants to re-nominate Deborah.
I want a pay decision.
If we get the CC&Rs taken care of, and I don't feel like there's a lawsuit that could happen, and that I might personally be held liable, I might consider it. But I tell you, that's something that weighs heavily on me.
Well, I think the other thing that we need to be aware of is everybody moved into the neighborhood recently. Those that moved in recently, put that one, say in the last 5 years. You came to this location for a reason. Something drew you here as opposed to other houses, not just price. But those things we are trying to maintain. But what we're hearing from a lot of people coming in is, oh, but I want to tear up all the lawn. I think we should be conserving water. And then when we have brown grass, we get, why aren't you watering more? Something needs to be done. So it's very difficult for any board to have to please all the people all the time. It can't be done. But we have been trying, and for those people who said, well, Brian should have gotten on this sooner on the sprinkler system, you cannot call, I don't care if we're run through a management company or individually doing it. We are not in a place anymore in service industry where you can call someone up and say, damn it, you will get here tomorrow, and this is what
I'm doing. Let me ask you a question. You got a landscape company that's monitoring this place and taking care of it. Why can't they just go to Brian or go to somebody and say, got a problem here, it's drying up? They're there once a week. Why can't they do that? I mean it doesn't take a dim bulb to do that.
Yeah, Brian?
Well, we're
not calling you at fault.
No, I understand that.
Or whoever's in charge of those people, whoever they are.
No insult taken there. We're not going to give them a carte blanche for them to do whatever they think. You got a little brown spot, and we can make $150 here real quick.
Brian, I'm not saying that. I'm saying go to you and say, it's dead. We need something needs to be done.
And they have. And I will take full responsibility for the west side of the property. I went on vacation at the 1st of May. It had rained in April. It was cool when I left. I did not have the sprinkler system turned on. It was activated, but the timers were turned off. Okay? It turned hotter than the hubs of hell the day that I left, and it never cooled off since probably a week ago. And there has been no rain whatsoever. So it got ahead of me in that month of May before I got back. We had a water conservation outfit. Who is it? Who am I talking about, Linda?
Resource Central.
When I came on the board, we had them come out, and they put these measuring cups all over our property. We activated the sprinkler system for 15 minutes. They measured the amount of water that we were getting in these areas. They gave us a written report and told us where we were screwing up, and where we weren't screwing up. Well, we were overwatering is what the problem was, okay, for an amount of time. So we have followed their recommendations to a T as far as how long the sprinkler systems run. We want it to run and let the water soak into the ground rather than running down the gutter, which we accomplished that. And I set the timers up to where they do that twice a day rather than having it run once a day like it did before for this exuberant amount of time where we had water running down the street. And that all worked fine. And you have to admit, or hopefully you do, that over the last 5 years, things look pretty darn good. This year, things look good on the flat areas. Wherever we had a slope, water, last I checked, does not run uphill. And it would run off of that at the angle of the slope with the angle of the sun with no shade in that area. You could have baked a cake out there probably a good portion of the time. During those years, I was able to turn the sprinkler system off for weeks at a time, and that's no lie. I was turning the sprinkler system off for over a week because we had sufficient rainfall, grass looked great. The lawnmowers during mowing was tearing the yards up because it was so wet. So I was turning the sprinklers off. We saved a ton of water and a ton of money by doing that. I never turned this sprinkler system off once this year. Not one day did that thing not run. So I did come out and have a company come out. I told them what I thought needed to be done. They agreed with me, so we've done it. So we had to replace a bunch of heads because the others were just wore out, that they weren't that good a quality to start with. And I did up the watering times on that, just trying to catch up with it. And now, in my opinion, looking at it, it looks pretty good. Those trees back there, a lot of them knocked the water down. And without cutting the tree down, there is no solution to that problem. It is a problem with the tree being there. So we're going to live with dead spots around the tree, brown spots. A pine tree, the needles are so acidic that nothing will grow there to start with. So it is an inherent problem with that.
Can't
so,
they run another line down? And bypass the tree?
No. You would starve the system if you put in more heads.
Well, you cut the one head off that's being blocked by the tree and move the head down to where it would cover more.
Yeah, but
area.
The part that it's watering that the tree isn't blocking would be a problem. Now you got a brown spot there. These are rotary heads, and they make a full circle. So whatever degree angle that tree is blocking, that area on the other side isn't getting it. So it's just an inherent problem. But in my opinion, right now the west side is looking pretty decent, and
yes.
I think it was all because of that. And we've had. The retention ponds, we've cut the watering back on that. For the individuals that live next to the retention ponds, you know, aesthetically, maybe they aren't as green and lush as they have been in the past, but there's better places to put the water than in a retention pond on a hill. But right now, the retention ponds are looking good. Maybe the east retention pond, because there's one tree that's got branches hanging down and it's hitting it, and that needs to be addressed, and it will be. There is another problem with the east retention pond, which I don't really see it as a problem, but there are two zones there's actually three zones in that east retention pond, and they should each be operated individually over a timer. Well, they are, but there are two zones, and it's been this way since dirt, I guess, that there's two zones that are being operated at the same time. That is decreasing the water pressure, so those do not have quite the coverage that the rest of them would. The wire is broke somewhere from that east retention pond to the timer, which is over on the north entrance. If you got an idea how to find that broken wire, let me know. I mean, it can be done, but it would be horrendously expensive. But because of the two circuits tied together, that'll work. But the rest of it is working fine. It's, again, they need maintenance. We're providing the maintenance, maybe sometimes not as quickly as you would like, but it is getting handled. So that's all I'm going to say.
I know that your meeting is adjourned.
I said it. All right. We'll got a committee that we put together for investigating a look at all of our HOA rules and regulations, bringing them up to date. We'll have to bring you more information on the December 4th here, meeting. And in the meantime, do some investigation on your own as to whether or not you want, if you're in blocks 1 and 2, whether you want an individual drip system or tap into a blocks 1 and 2 drip system, or, you know, do some thinking and investigating yourself. We've given you some information. If you need more, we'll try to come up with it, and we ask all of you to help us in that regard. Is there anything else here from board members that you want to say before we...
I think that the people would like to hear what the results of the questionnaire is. It only takes about 2 minutes. We got 3 minutes on the clock. Satisfied with changes regarding to the snow removal? 21 yes, 4 no. We had less than half of the people respond to the questionnaire, so we just assume that those that didn't respond are happy with it. Okay. So with the snow removal, I know we have some individuals that are not happy, and we'll talk to them. Satisfied with lawn care and maintenance, 18 yes, 5 no. Satisfied with tree trimming and tree removal and pest control, 16 yes, 5 no. Finally, satisfied with the slow transition to xeriscaping, which is probably not going to happen because of the awful expense of xeriscaping, 15 yes, 7 no. So that's the results of that survey that you did 6 months ago or whenever it was. That's all I have. I do talk.
Thank you, everyone, for coming and for coming.
I'm sure that was a waste of time for you to be here.